Well, goodness sakes, it's time for another adventure into the world of technology, smartphones, smartwatches, laptops, desktops, tablets, and other forms of modern gadgetry. The Adam the Computer Guy show is on the air. Good morning, it's me, Adam Lepp. About 13 minutes after 9, Eastern Standard Time, about 40 degrees out there. Nice and warm for late January in mid-Ohio. I'll take it. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, you can always email me. I don't have to be on the air for your email to work. It is available 24/7. You can send me a comment, question, suggestion, or, you know what, even a complaint. Adam@WWGH1071.com.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lepp!
If you're new to the Adam the Computer Guy show, welcome. Thank you very much for listening. I can assure you this show is worth making the coffee for and setting the old alarm clock. If you have listened previously, thank you very much for doing that. We won't disappoint you. We discuss some current technology topics, news and views, as I say, have some guest commentators. And of course, if it's something with me, Adam, there is always going to be an occasional wisecrack. Taking a look at some current technology news, we discuss Fitbits and smartwatches and technology that you can wear, not just put on the old desk. And you've probably heard about smartwatches. Samsung, purveyor of appliances and smartphones and who knows whatever else, they have begun a global rollout of the latest versions of the Gear S2 Classic smartwatch. And it has first been introduced to China. There are two models in the Gear S2 Classic New Edition line, one with 18-karat rose gold plating and the other with a platinum finish. They have ivory and black leather bands. Their new faces feature characters from the Peanuts comic strip, as well as designs created by artists including Keith Haring and Jean-Michel Basculat. Twisting the bezel changes the face. How about that? New apps from CNN and Bloomberg include their own specialized watch face features. And of course, they've added apps from eBay, ESPN, Uber, and Voxer. Introduced last month at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, the new edition line also includes Samsung Pay, NFC technology that soon will be available to users, beginning in the United States. They've not announced pricing. Cliff Raskind, a senior research director at Strategy Analytics, said the new designs launched at the Consumer Electronics Show are part of the larger trend toward more bling and enhanced appeal for women that we also saw from YY at the Consumer Electronics Show and from models like the Moto 362 and Pebble Time Round earlier this year. He added that that sensibility is reflected in the premium metal-plated models, campy watch faces, and leather straps. And finally, the larger trend, of course, said Cliff Raskind, is that smartwatches are meeting the challenge of adding style and fashion a lot faster than they're meeting the challenge of practical day-to-day convenience. And by that we mean battery life, comfort, and size. So sometimes, in the interest of making things the latest and greatest, and as we said, the blingiest, the fanciest, the flashiest, these manufacturers, even with good intention, forget about practical things such as battery life and practicality, and goodness sakes, what does something like this cost? So let me know what you think about these smartwatches. Maybe you have a smartwatch and you'd like to tell us what you think, or you're looking forward to buying an item like that. Kind of cool stuff. Again, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. You know, I check my email all the time. Adam@WWGH1071.com. If you have visited our website lately, you have probably noticed that it really rocks, if I can say so myself. Hate to toot the old horn here, but I am the person who has done the designing and the updates, but as I mentioned last week, our general manager, Scott, has graciously asked me to make the website awesome, and when I am asked to do that, I take it seriously, and I don't like to disappoint. Go to WWGH1071.com. You will see several things. Of course, a few photos, some info about our Hall of Fame thrice weekly host, Charlie Evers. Dozens of shows of Charlie's that you can download and listen right from your computer or smartphone or tablet or maybe even your smart watch. Archives of my show, archives of Scott's celebrity guests. And he's had some pretty interesting folks on throughout the years, even Ed Asner and Marla Gibbs and who knows who else. Check it out to see. The other shows that we offer, check it out, WWGH1071.com, the show schedule, and as Marion's community radio station, the talking place here at WWGH. We're always adding new shows and making your listening experience better, so please bookmark the website, visit it frequently, because there's a lot more good stuff to come. WWGH1071.com. Welcome to another Technological Tidbit with me, AdamTheComputerGuy.com, and my cohort, Mr. Brandon Oak. Today we're going to discuss some of the trends in portable computing. Tablets versus notebook or laptop computers or versus your smartphone. Do we really need to have all three of those devices? And what are advantages of notebooks or laptops over smartphones, over tablets? What are some problems people might have with a tablet? Excellent insight today from my cohort Brandon. Hopefully it can save you some time next time you need to shop for your favorite electronic gadgetry. Brandon, tell me your own personal experiences of laptops versus tablets versus the full-size tower computer.
Well, over the years, I mean, I've had experience with almost every kind of, you know, tablet or laptop, even a PC or the tower computer, as you mentioned. I gotta say, overall, I prefer the tower computer just because it doesn't, I would say, it just runs better as a whole. You can do more with them, but the big downside is you can't take it with you everywhere you go. Is like, I think that's really where the laptop is probably the best option between the tablet and the tower. Just for the simple, because the new, especially with newer laptops nowadays, they have the power that matches even what a tower PC can even output. It's just, and then when you go to tablets, yeah, it's great. But I mean, they do have come with serious flaws. For myself personally, I had had this, I bought a tablet off of, the internet, I mean, it had all these great reviews, it did what I wanted to do, and I had it for about 4 months, and then somehow the power input, the little pin ended up breaking on the inside, and I didn't realize this, and then I went to go see if I could actually replace this part, and it turns out that nobody makes this part, and making it impossible to fix. And has no other way of having power source, because I tried this with by installing a wireless charger, which did not work. And so that was a major flaw that I was completely unaware of, and I don't think many others were either. At least as far as I could tell with reviews and through everything else. So basically what I ended up with was a $200 paperweight, which in the long run, I had all this work from my schooling and stuff on it. It's gone. And now I've learned to save more, but the point being is know what you're buying and make sure you can actually buy replacement parts for it. Otherwise, you could end up wasting a lot of money, even more so than I did. And then so on and so forth. So when it comes right down to it, I would say definitely go with the laptop, especially, you know, for students or anybody on the go who doesn't want to mess with the PC at home all the time. Or if you can afford both, I'd say do both, just so you have a backup of all your information and data. So that way, if you do end up losing one, you have a backup, and then you don't have to start from scratch all over again, back and forth, just a vicious cycle of a technological twister, so to speak.
Well, hey, if you'd like to be a regular commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy show, or a guest commentator. I can, in many cases, have you right here in the studio. We can have some coffee, maybe a donut or two. Tech talk, technology. Yeah. Some current topics. I can interview you. You can interview me. Ask some questions and even take phone calls from our listeners. Would love to have you in the studio. In some cases, I can actually come to your location, your home or office, record some items that we can play on future shows. Or if you have something you'd like to record and email to me to play on the Adam the Computer Guy show, that would just be awesome. Awesome with a capital A. Send me an email. Love to hear from you. Email me right now, adam@wwgh1071.com. Of course, our friends at Facebook always have the latest and greatest ways to integrate your life and your interests into your timeline. And with the big game coming up and sports always being a topic of interest here in the great world we live in, let's talk about something in that vein. They have announced the new sports stadium, and that was on Thursday of last week. Now, this sports stadium, thank goodness, is built with no taxpayer dollars or city leases required. Now, about 650 million sports fans already make Facebook the world's largest stadium. Now, this new hub will compile and chronologize. Love that word, chronologize. It'll compile and chronologize game-related content in real time, so that, according to Steve Kafka, a product manager at Facebook, you can get the feeling you are watching the game with your friends even when you are not together. Now, the hub itself is organized by tabs labeled Matchup, Friends, Experts, and Stats. Now, looking at a picture of this on the iOS, on the iPhone, which is where it's available currently, it looks pretty cool. If you'd like to see this photo and talk about this particular topic, certainly with the big game coming up, it is very trendy and certainly on the cool side. Send me an email or leave a message on our Facebook page, adam@wwgh1071.com. Now, Matchup offers an overview of the action. It highlights the latest big plays and fan reactions to go with them. Now, one unique thing here is the ability to share plays from the hub to a timeline. Now, of course, Facebook is pretty much the expert in that, taking things that are interests of yours or interfaces or apps that you use and putting them on the timeline. This, I think, takes that a second step and makes it something that everybody can pretty much find an interest in, especially, again, with a big game coming up. Anyway, remarks from paid and unpaid experts are funneled into either the friends or experts categories. Now, the experts tab is reserved for individuals discussing the game from verified accounts. These people include sports analysts, journalists, and chatty celebrities. As for the stats tab, it is dedicated to the facts and statistics related to a given game. As I mentioned, Sports Hub is available only for the Apple operating system, the iOS, but it is not a standalone app. It is a feature that lives inside the core Facebook app, and it'll be available on other platforms in the coming weeks, according to Facebook. That's kind of good for me because, you know, as a Bengals fan, it's wait till next year. Of course, I think I've said that since I was born. So hopefully I'm an Android person. It'll be available for Android before next football season. So once again, I can root my team on to hopefully a successful playoff run. Now, it starts with U.S. football, and of course, we say U.S. football because Facebook is worldwide, and in Europe, football is what we call soccer. So it'll be available for many other sports, again, soccer or European football, or football, what they call football in Europe, because they also play American football in Europe, so a little bit confusing there. and baseball and basketball. So a lot more to come with this fun Facebook interface, and they plan to add other sports soon. I mentioned timing, again, with the big game coming up right in the middle of football fever in late January. Facebook Sports Stadium has arrived at a good time to interest people in trying out the new hub, and that comes from Justin Garrity, the president of Postano. He said, "The Super Bowl is one of the most watched global sporting events, so it will be a great first introduction for Sports Stadium to a huge audience that will hopefully use it again watching their local sports teams." Ben Hordell, a partner at DX Agency, said, "While the timing may help with adoption, Facebook will have to battle user behavior to get people to break away from what they relied on before Sports Stadium was a thing." Ben said, "I think the stadium will be visited by those who are already on Facebook while watching the game. Facebook has been integrating an I'm watching feature based on your tastes. So to start the process leading up to the stadium reveal." Now, this I'm watching feature, I've seen on my feed where there's a little football and I can tell my friends that I'm watching the Bengals game and comment on it or get a little bit upset about it. So this certainly integrates with that well and kind of is a thing that we can use as sports fans and amateur sports commentators. Now, we might want to look at how social networking has been integrating into sports. Now, sports have been popular since all of us were babies and a lot before that. But, of course, social networking is kind of a new thing. So how do we marry these two things? I hate to say the word things too many times, but it is a thing, right? It's a thing. It's something that we have as part of our life here in the great world that we live in. Andy Abramson, the CEO of Communicano, said, "For the most part, social networks have been timid in plunging into sports because leagues tend to try to control their online media. Facebook Sports Stadium takes on a news role and avoids royalties, while the voice of the fans gets stronger and more compelling." He said, "The ease with which content can be built onto the Facebook platform, the speed with which fans and journalists alike can publish and share in an era of declining metropolitan media, and the rise of social media and influencer-led journalism. This means that sports properties have to view influences and what they are covering with a much wider view of the impact that a local blogger could have on team, league, or event news." Now, Twitter, as you might know, stepped up its sports presence in 2014, a couple years ago, when it launched the NFL on Twitter. The ongoing campaign has brought fans unique insights into the NFL, but it now faces serious competition on another front. Ben Hordell added that, "I think Facebook's gain will be Twitter's loss, as Facebook steals some share of voice in being the preferred social network second screen to accompany live sports viewing." So let me know what you think about that. You know, obviously, Twitter, and goodness sakes, back in the relatively Stone Ages, MySpace, they've kind of taken a backseat to Facebook. As I like to say, Facebook is probably a force more powerful than a lot of countries in the great world that we live in. So they are delving into the sports arena, integrating sports, something that we as Americans love to follow. They've integrated that into their social networking and people's timelines, and certainly the timing with the big game coming up probably couldn't be better. So anyway, let me know what you think. Would you like to be a part of this Facebook Stadium send me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Or, of course, we can talk to you right on the air. Adam at WWGH1071.com. This is the Adam the Computer Guy Show with me, Adam Lepp. Good Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 a.m., we get together. We talk technology, take your phone calls, your emails, answer your Facebook messages, technology topics, social networking, smartwatches, smartphones, phones that aren't quite so smart, and of course, computers, tablets, laptops, you name it, we discuss it. Thank you very much for listening. We are the talking place in Marion. WWGH 1071 on your FM dial. Welcome to another technological tidbit with me, Adam, thecomputerguy.com, and my guest commentator, Mr. Brandon Oak. Brandon, we were having lunch yesterday, and we both noticed that there are a lot of people of all ages who seem to be married, if not superglued, to their phone or other smart device. And we both commented, that's not really smart, because if you're not careful, the driver may not be able to brake, and a serious accident could occur. Now, certainly, I'm as guilty of anybody as probably spending too much time on Facebook and texting and other things I can do with this mini fantastic computer that lives in my pocket 24 hours a day. But I think safety is always a top priority. And just like most of us, I'm probably guilty of being a little too glued to my smart device. What are some tips, Brandon, that you can give our listeners regarding enjoying your phone and your smart device, but doing it safely and not letting it interfere with your ability to thrive in the great world that we live in?
Well, you know, the first thing I would suggest would, you know, seem a little too obvious, you know, then you might think, actually, maybe not, is that maybe you should start paying attention to your surroundings more so than looking down at your phone or talking on it and not paying attention to what's going on around you. Because I was in the, I was in the store the other day, and then I figured out, I was walking behind somebody the other day, and they were just talking away on their cell phone, not paying attention, pushing a cart, and then a few people actually had to dodge and get out of the way, and then the other person looked at them as though they did something wrong when it was the one using the phone seemingly that was being rude. So I don't know when it became a norm to be rude, but apparently it's become a trend. It's become a very vicious trend. I mean, it has caused a lot of issues. It's, kind of staying away from the darker side, but we all know about the dangers of texting and driving. We've seen the results, and people still do it. And they don't seem to quite put the two together as to why you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But I digress. I mean, as in this whole social environment, you'll see people, they'll be sitting next to each other, and all they do is, you know, they text each other while they're sitting next to one another, to each, which seems to confound me. I don't see why they do it. I mean, when did we stop talking face to face, and why? It just doesn't make sense. Again, it just becomes a trend to seemingly just be rude or just completely distant in your own world, even though you're in the same one. I don't think people quite realize the impact or the effects. I mean, you just kind of lose that personal touch in almost any kind of setting with the whole mobile devices with such ease of access and so on and so forth. And so with that, I leave it.
My regular commentator and longtime personal friend, Brandon Oak, always an interesting perspective on today's technology and related topics. We hear from him pretty much every show with an occasional wisecrack and a lot of good ideas to share with my listeners. If you'd like to be a guest commentator or regular commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy Show, I'd love to hear from you. Hey, send me an email. I won't disappoint you. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Of course, here at WWGH, we are Marion's talking place. And our website gets better pretty much every day. Hopefully you've taken a look at it. Don't want to toot my own horn again, but Scott Spears, one of our fine general managers here at the station, has assigned me the task of making the website rock. And hey, it does that. Lots of photos, information, show archives. You can listen to all of my previous shows right there on your computer or smartphone or tablet or maybe even your smartwatch. Learn a little more about Charlie Evers and view our program schedule. Of course, our program schedule is constantly improving as we add new and interesting shows. For example, every Monday between 2:13 and 3 p.m., it's Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett. Interesting perspectives, current events, and of course, she takes your phone calls. Also, don't miss the Sober Joe Show. Friday morning, right after the 10 a.m. top of the hour feature, so about 10:13 a.m. until 11 a.m. And you can listen to archives of these shows on our website. Just click on Show Archives at WWGH1071.com. Again, let me know what you think about the website. If you have suggestions for it, that would be more than welcome. We're an open forum, and I'm a pretty open-minded and friendly guy. Send me an email, adam@WWGH1071.com. Now, here on the Adam the Computer Guy show, we do what I call news and views. Discuss technology topics, and of course, I'm not one who shies away from an occasional wisecrack or two. One thing that always comes up is privacy while you're online. How much of what you are doing is shared with the world we live in? Hopefully, not too much, but sometimes it's more than we think it is or more than we'd like it to be. A company called Brave Software, and their boss man is Brendan Eich. That's really his name, because it kind of sounds like my commentator, Brandon Oak, but they are not the same person. Maybe they're distant cousins, though. Anyway, he co-founded Mozilla, and they're the people behind the Firefox browser. Brendan Eich, also created the very important and omnipresent, love that word, omnipresent, JavaScript programming language. Anyway, he has released the developer version of the Brave browser. Of course, a lot of people might say you're brave to browse the internet anyway, but this browser is called Brave. You must like the letter B, because his name is Brendan. Anyway, Brave is an open source project that promises to block internet greed and ugliness. How about that? Could I block out my ugly relatives? Well, probably not, but maybe internet ugliness. Well, anyway, it improves speed and protects privacy. Basically, this new browser, Brave, blocks ads containing pixels and cookies that track users and load stuff onto their devices without their knowledge. Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Anyway, malvertising will not get into users' devices because the project has integrated the HTTPS everywhere into the browser. Now, this means that Brave will allow clean ads. That is, ads that don't track users or upload anything onto their devices. Now, it reportedly takes about 15% of the ad revenue generated. Rob Enderle, we quote him regularly. He is the principal analyst at the Enderle Group. He said the browser appears specifically tuned for performance and privacy and has behind it a unique advertiser component. He said it effectively bypasses Google, along with Facebook, a very powerful force and a company with a lot of money. Anyway, he expects that if it's successful, Google would most likely buy them and shut them down. How about that? If you can't beat them, join them and then shut them down. Let me know what you think about that, about internet privacy. Are you concerned that whenever you go to a website, you click on something or view something or visit a video or a Facebook page, that someone's watching? And maybe you're not quite too comfortable with who that person or entity might be. Send me an email, adam@WWGH1071.com. Speaking of some of the fine shows available for you on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Of course, our Hall of Famer, Charlie Evers. He follows me on Thursday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and noon. He also is on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. And on Friday, Charlie, along with Scott Spears and Mary Ann Michaels, they host the Exchange Club. That's Friday after the noon features until 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Check it out. Listen on your car radio, home radio, office radio, 107.1 FM, or via our website, WWGH1071.com. If you miss a show, well, that isn't too bad because you can still listen to archives of these and other shows on our website, WWGH1071.com. My name is Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, host of the Adam the Computer Guy show for you on WWGH every Tuesday and Thursday. We get together and talk technology. Take your phone calls, answer your emails and Facebook messages. Talk technology, smartphones that maybe aren't quite as smart as they would like to be. Of course, always an occasional wisecrack and a lot of the current technology news that I think you might find interesting. If you'd like to be a guest commentator or a regular commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy show, just send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or pick up the phone and call us. In fact, call us right now, 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. Welcome to another technological tidbit with me, AdamTheComputerGuy.com, and my cohort, Mr. Brandon Oak. Today, we're going to discuss some of the apps on your smartphone, which may not be quite as smart as we would like them to be. Brandon's going to kind of go over his favorite and least favorite apps and maybe some tips for you as the end user.
I don't know, some of my favorite apps, I mean, there's plenty to choose from. I mean, a lot of them, they all have their little bugs now, but my favorite, by all means, is YouTube app. Simply because I can, you know, I can telecast to my TV and play YouTube on my TV, which is really nice, and then I can play other apps because it's a smart TV, so to speak. But, again, it does have its flaws. It does tend to freeze or will sometimes mess up the TV itself. I don't know. It's just a little bug. You kind of have to expect it when you're dealing with apps on your smartphones or what have you. I mean, there are plenty of apps out there that are just complete junk, that they have high ratings for some odd reason, but they're just terrible. Either they take up too much space, or maybe they're just, I don't know, complete junk. They're just filled with bugs or sometimes even viruses. There is this new app out there called Wallapop. You're meant to be able to sell things on it, and well, it's a great concept, but it doesn't really work because what you end up having is an over saturation of just complete junk. People are trying to sell either for too much or it's just worth absolutely nothing, but they're still trying to sell it, and so you just have this overflow of the same kind of items, and it doesn't work. And even when people say they want to buy something, they end up flaking out, and they don't end up, you know, paying for what they say they're going to in the first place. So, I mean, it's just, again, a great concept, but it really doesn't work. Let me think. I don't know, another popular app most people use would probably be the Facebook app. I mean, it's great, but it too has its flaws, especially the Facebook Messenger app. It's doesn't work as clean as some people think, and some even, well, has been proven to a point that it does kind of spy on your location. It shares it without you actually knowing it. But, I mean, people still use it for the convenience, I get it, but still, it's got its problems, no doubt.
We have previously mentioned about some hackers' abilities to hack into the computer on your car. And as the owner of a relatively new vehicle, that concerns me just a tad. Here's an update for you. Charlie Miller and Chris Valasek, two white hat hackers, made headlines last year when they demonstrated how they could hijack the control systems of a moving vehicle over the internet. The move got the attention of the auto industry, and General Motors, earlier this month, put in place a program to encourage more digital dabblers to alert the company when they find bugs in GM vehicles. Well, definitely very glad to hear that one. Working with HackerOne, again, kind of a group that tests the ability of people to hack into computers and electronic gadgetry, GM published a set of guidelines for submitting flaws to the company. The guidelines, though, mostly describe what a bug finder must do to avoid prosecution. For example, it advises researchers that they must not cause harm to GM customers or others, must not compromise the privacy or safety of customers, must not violate any criminal laws, reveal bugs until GM fixes them, or be a resident of Cuba, North Korea, Sudan, Syria, or Crimea, and must be on the U.S. Treasury Department's specially designed nationals list. There's no mention in the guidelines that General Motors will compensate researchers for the hours of work typically spent uncovering vulnerabilities in software. HackerOne Chief Technology Officer Alex Rice said, "Working with hackers it begins by having a clear way for potential vulnerabilities to be responsibly reported." He said a vulnerability coordination process is an important security best practice for every technology company. He said General Motors is demonstrating leadership in their field with this commitment. Ben Johnson, the chief security strategist for Bit9 plus Carbon Black, also praised GM's initiative. He said it's a wise move to try and get a whole community to crowdsource the problem. However, the popularity of the program remains uncertain. According to Ben Johnson, it will be interesting to see how many contribute versus how many take their chances and go rogue. Certainly, as I see it, with people driving cars that are essentially computers with four wheels and an engine, kind of like myself and my fairly new Chevrolet that I drive around town here, making sure that it is not vulnerable to hackers, that you're driving something that you think you're driving, that you're not being outsmarted by some person sitting who knows where with a keyboard and mouse and internet connection, that's pretty important. I don't think anything is more important other than safety when you step behind the wheel. And certainly the possibility of a hacker to take control of a car, that is part of the safety spectrum. Let me know what you think. Are you a driver of a fairly new car and a little concerned that hackers could take control or do something that wouldn't be too nice? Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Would love to talk about it with you. Or again, have you as a guest commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy show. Even better, we can talk about this right in the studio as your inside opinions and, of course, experiences are always valuable. Well, my name is Adam Lepp, also known as AdamTheComputerGuy.com, or just The Computer Guy. Some people just call me that, which is fine where I come from. This is a twice-weekly feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, the Adam the Computer Guy show. We get together and talk tech, take your phone calls, take your emails, and also Facebook messages. So please let me know what you think. Adam@WWGH1071.com. One thing I have delved into in previous shows is the top 50 websites in the United States. Although one week we discussed the top 100 websites in the world. So let's do today a recap of some of the top websites currently visited based on web traffic in the U.S. of A. Not a lot of surprise at the top, so we'll start at the bottom and keep you in suspense. Number 50, nytimes.com, the website for the New York Times newspaper. Office.com, number 49. Of course, that being the website for the very popular omnipresent, you can tell I like that word, omnipresent, Microsoft Office program, number 49, office.com. Shopping site, Etsy.com, number 48. File sharing system, Dropbox.com, 47. News.yahoo.com, Yahoo's news portal, number 46. Now, there's a site that certainly has dropped in popularity a bit over the last few years, but still one that people visit, and I personally like Yahoo's news. It's well organized and pretty much lets you find stuff easily, and also find the website launches fairly quickly, always an important thing nowadays, as sometimes traffic overtakes the functionality and usefulness of a website. Popular discount department store, Target, Target.com, number 45. Best Buy.com, 44. The Drudge Report.com, number 43. Number 40, also a site that certainly has dropped of late, but still popular, AOL.com. Microsoft.com, number 39. You would think they'd be a little higher up there, but they're not really a website per se. They're a major software company, so their website, which in my opinion isn't really that good or well organized anyway, isn't quite as high as you might expect, but it's certainly up there. WordPress.com, the very popular site that you can look at to find out about developing websites with the excellent platform WordPress that we've discussed here on the show, along with my commentator, Nick. Their website's 38. Real estate site is a little bit controversial because, as I mentioned on previous shows, many people think that the pricing given is not overly accurate, and I would tend to agree with that. Zillow.com, 37, but a good site nonetheless, and you can get a free appraisal in a few seconds, and who would possibly turn that down? But I do, again, mention the appraisals may not be super accurate, but they are fun. Yelp.com, an online site which has reviews and business information, 36. CNN.com, 34. Apple.com, not the fruit, but of course the software and hardware company, number 33. Popular banking site, WellsFargo.com, 32. And a similar site, BankofAmerica.com, number 31. Well, let's see here. One of Adam's favorite sites, IMDb.com, where you can find celebrity and movie and TV show information. And the price is right, it's free. Number 28. Hulu.com, 27. Let's see here. Xvideos.com. We won't discuss what that site is, but you can probably figure it out. Number 26. Another banking site, one that certainly has a big presence here in Ohio. Chase.com, 25. And goodness sakes, Walmart.com. What would a countdown of popular stuff be without Walmart? Number 24. Pornhub.com. Wonder what that site is. Number 23. MSN.com, 22. PayPal, 21. ESPN, which officially is ESPN.go.com, number 20. File sharing site, INGUR.com, number 19. LinkedIn, kind of a business type version of Facebook, a social networking site geared more toward job hunting, human resources, people's life histories, and less toward some of the fun stuff and silly stuff we see on Facebook. Anyway, LinkedIn number 18. Okie dokie. Number 17. Go.com. A site with a lot of different things in it. And as I mentioned, they are now integrated with ESPN. Tumblr. Social networking site. Number 15. Netflix. Very site that's gaining a lot of popularity, let's put it that way, as many people get these smart TVs and watch their TVs and other video entertainment on the computer instead of the more old-fashioned way. Netflix, number 13. Twitter, number 12. There's a site that probably has dropped a bit, but still used a lot. 12 ain't too bad. Craigslist, the online classified ads site, one that I certainly have been known to visit from time to time. Number 11, Wikipedia, your online dictionary and encyclopedia that users can contribute to. Another favorite site of mine. Number 10, Instagram, share your photographs. Number 9, Bing.com, Microsoft's search engine. Number 8, Live.com, a Microsoft site, which essentially used to be Hotmail, but it's a few other things now. Number 7, eBay. Number 6, Amazon 5, Yahoo 4, YouTube. Number 3. And which one do you think is number 1, Google or Facebook? Well, here in the good old US of A, Facebook is number 2 and Google is number 1. But of course, that stuff can change, so stay tuned for another episode of the Adam the Computer Guy Show. We'll run down some highlights of top websites and maybe see some changes. And of course, we'll have the usual commentary from yours truly. Well, that's it for another adventure into the world of technology on the Adam the Computer Guy Show. Thank you so much for listening. It's been fun. Talk to you Thursday, approximately 9:13 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen on your car, radio, home radio, office radio, radio while you're out and about working. It's all good to me. 107.1 FM or online at WWGH1071.com. And of course, archives of my show and other shows available on our website, WWGH1071.com. Coming up at 11 a.m., there is the 11 o'clock features. There are the 11 o'clock features, even better. And following that, it is the chat with Linda Sims. Linda, always a lady with interesting perspectives. Very sharp cookie, if I should say so myself. And of course, feel free to give her a call at 740-383-9944. Have a great Tuesday and talk to you on Thursday. Adam Lepp, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.